It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Woo, Bob, it's cold out, brother. We got our first big winter storm here in West Michigan, and they do Stormageddon, and it generally, where we were anyway, it wasn't nearly as bad as they thought, but it is cold. But I'm Joppin, he's Barbecue Bob. You're listening to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, baby?
Yeah, I never get too excited anymore when they start, the world is ending.
Yeah, due to a storm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's Michigan. Get a grip. Hey, welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves, still 14 years plus running. We're glad you take a little time to listen to our silliness and maybe pick up a few tips about how to operate the grill and smoke your meats and maybe prepare other foods that you happen to like or that we happen to like.
Yeah.
But that's what this whole thing's about, and we do appreciate your time. You can download the podcast at thegrillingguys.com if you've not got it on your phone. Conrad and the team will send it to you every week.
Yeah. So last week was Thanksgiving, right? And I wanted to share a story because it was something that happened that I was not expecting to happen, and I'd not like it not to happen to anybody else.
Conrad, yeah. I think it's sharing time.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, no, this is a tip for the grilling world, okay? You all heard me say I was going to spatchcock my turkey, and I set it on my grill. I cooked it on a Kamado, big green egg. And there's a device that separates the coals from the grate, so you get indirect heat, and it's called a plate setter. Mine is made out of cast iron, okay?
Because you got tired of replacing the ceramic ones.
Because I'd break them, right? They're brittle when they're hot or cold, and if you're handling them, they can break. So I went to Long Yard and bought a cast iron one many years ago, and it's perfect. So I got it in there, and of course I got my lump charcoal fire going below. The turkey's turning out perfect. It comes to my 170 degrees, and it's time to take it off. So I got two, 14-inch tong sets that I go under the thighs and up to the breast, and I'm going to lift the thing off.
Uh-oh.
One of the legs tore away, and the juice, I had that Otto's turkey that I had brined, and the juice hit that cast iron, which was, I don't know, several hundred degrees, giant flare-up. I mean, burned the sleeve of my... I'm lucky I had on my gloves.
I noticed your eyebrows, your left
right,
eye.
Right, but it burned it burned my sleeve above the gloves. Oh. I mean, it was an immediate flash fire.
I think the eyebrows were his wife hits him with a frying pan.
Right, yeah. Okay. But I had one of my buddies standing right there. And I dropped it back down and backed away until the fire went down because it was violent. I mean, it was coming off there perfect. He's standing there holding the platter, and all of a sudden that leg popped, and that juice just flooded down and hit that cast iron that was 500-600 degrees, and oh, my God.
That's too bad because if you could have let that thing rest with all that juice, it would have been even better.
Right, yeah, I know. And I was so, I had the big long tongs being so careful, breaking it off slow, and it just wobbled and that stuff cut loose, man. Woo.
Oh, so it was seared, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, yeah, right. It cauterized itself.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. But it was still wonderful, but and nobody got really hurt because I had the gloves on and protected me. But
just your feelings.
Yeah. And if I had not had the gloves on, I might have been in the hospital.
There's the best
because
lesson
the burn
right there.
The burn would have been crazy.
You've had some other flare-up stories.
Let that be a lesson for all you amateur grillers out there.
Well, that's exactly right.
We're all amateurs.
Let Jop take it for the team.
Right. And I've done this dozens of times. And we always talk about, hey, spatchcock it, you're going to really like it. Just be careful because I'm fine. No harm, no foul.
Skin side down when you finish.
No. Uh-uh. I leave it. I just put the open chest side down, and
how did the turkey turn out?
It was fantastic. Yeah. It really was. And Tim Sobey turned me on to a new brining and seasoning kit, and it was fantastic. Great flavor. Very juicy still. You know what I did though? I got my power fillet knife out. I have a electric fillet knife, mm-hmm. and I carved it with that. Holy cow, is that slick, man. It just like butter. man, just going right through there, getting nice thin slices.
We had one of those from the 70s we still use.
Yeah,
you know,
this one, with the cord.
Mine's cordless because it was for, you know, when I walleye fish in the spring, you got to clean a lot of fish. But anyway, no, it worked like butter. Man, just wonderful, wonderful. But I wanted to share that because it can happen to anybody. I thought I was on board knowing what I was doing, and she backfired a little bit.
Wow, so, that's quite the tale.
Right. But just be careful. That's all. Anything can happen.
The snow hit, and it just changes everything when you live in the country. I live in the woods, as you all know, and you don't have – I mean, you have areas where you stash smokers and stuff off in the woods, and the snow changes everything.
Yeah.
Because even though I have a big mule, big, you know, four-seater mule and
– Side-by-side thing. Yeah,
and all these four-wheel drive cars and – It doesn't matter when you get in the, and I'm in the hills.
Yep.
When you get in the hills in snow,
slippery.
Everything changes.
Yeah, yeah. What couldn't you get at that you wanted to?
Oh, doesn't matter. I've got the barn project going on there, and I've got a bunch of steel for the roof left over that I'm going to do some extra work with that's in the way that should have been moved before the snow.
Yeah. Well, this weekend.
So I can't get in the barn now.
Yeah. Today and tomorrow is supposed to be in the mid-40s. Maybe you get a little melt off a little bit, at least where we are.
Good.
And then you can get at it. But that's the thing. You got to get at it.
Well, and that's kind of, I guess, why I'm lamenting is I generally process a lot of firewood. And because I have one of my kids and his family living in the lower level this year, or right now, they're selling their house and. If I burn the fireplace, the basement freezes, and I can't have my grandkids freezing.
Well, no, that's true. So you got to have the furnace on.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the wood, not such a big deal.
Yeah. Speaking of wood, I need some more hickory limbs from you. I'm down to the part where they're just a little too big to throw in there. They smoke too long. I could cut them up, but I know that you've got those little four or five inch limbs.
Not any longer.
No.
But there are. If you come out, you can. I'll show you where to go.
Okay.
Instead of telling you where to go.
Oh well, you're talking about me being tough to go through the woods. Now you're going to sick me out there, right? Yeah. All right.
No, I'll do that for you.
Yeah. Can't you just cut my firewood? You know, it'd be good if you deliver it too, Bob. Yeah.
I think I do. So Christmas party plans. Lots of them were. We're doing a truncated Christmas this year, and it's, you know, when you got a large family and now all these in-laws and grandkids and stuff, and people are going to do Christmas at home or whatever, it gets a little tricky. So we're making our plans to be all over the place for a week.
Yeah, it changes things, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's all good. I mean, it's a natural progression of a family, and we had two Thanksgivings, right? Because the kids got to go one direction one day and one direction the next. So it just comes with the territory, man.
I'll be firing up the trailer smoker next weekend because I'm going to be doing butts for Schmo's Mug Club Party.
Oh, cool.
Their 20th anniversary.
Yeah, good.
And I have a charity to deliver. So,
okay. I got one too, but it's only 25 people. Oh. So I'm going to just do it on the butts on the pellet grill. And then they want chicken too, so... probably do that on the pellet grill as well. Butts might go on a big green egg, but it's not that much.
Yeah.
So, you know, one butt for this one. It's a bunch of church ladies. They don't eat big.
I had quite a time processing all that venison, and I had a great experience, which we can talk about later on,
okay.
Maybe, about my sausage-making process and how it turned out and... I learned a lot. It's been a long time since I made sausage, and I before always had a big grinder and Rob Russell with me, and we were doing classes and whatever. Now when you're doing it yourself in your kitchen by yourself with a small little kitchen job, it changes everything.
You know, Bob, I don't think it's been that long. Pretty much every week we make sausage. You just throw a bunch of junk in, and it turns out tasty, right? That's the Grilling Guys show.
I want to hear about
week,
Bob's
man.
Sausage. You
well,
know,
we,
so.
Conrad? That's a loaded question, but we're going to hear about it, I guarantee. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. And coming up next, we're going to talk about, Jim is going to join us from Schmoes, talk about that 20-year anniversary.
Yeah,
stick with us. We'll be back.
The guy you hear on the commercials.
Yeah.